Well, let's see here. Let's bring up the telly and make sure that we have Lynn Sorensen on the line. And we want to remind everybody that Lynn has been with us as part of our V team right here at KPTZ, dialed in not only to the information part of what's happening here at KPTZ and the COVID virus, but also a background, which is important. And she is an RN and a BSN with a distinguished career in hospitals and clinics and public health and home health and group health. And she also most recently has been involved at University of Washington teaching hospital and clinics. And that was before her retirement, not too long ago. And she and KPTZ colleague Kate Keenan join us here on Morning on the Salish alternately each week for conversation and updates. And Lynn and I were having a little bit of a conversation via email, and I think we're probably on the same wavelength when it comes to information overload. But let's make sure we got Lynn on the line. Are you there, Lynn?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning. Yeah, well, there are a lot of encouraging things that are happening out there. There's a big full court press on trying to develop a vaccine. Doesn't mean that the vaccine is necessarily right around the corner time-wise, but it's very encouraging to see the amount of effort that's being put into it. It kind of reminds me of what was done nationally when we had leadership, when we put somebody on the moon. You know, so I think, minus that extra little perk there of having an inspirational leader, I think we're showing what the mettle is of our communities throughout the United States. And I think that's encouraging as well.
Yeah, but with the vaccine research, I know that it's worldwide. And mm-hmm. I'm afraid that the United States is not participating in that worldwide search for antivirals or vaccine. So that's a bit of a drawback.
It is, but, you know, I had an old boss that used to say, it is what it is. We just have to do what we can to change it. So I know that you were talking about the fact that all of us we're not victims, but we are recipients of an information overload. And everywhere you turn, whether it's walking down the street and meeting friends, or turning on the radio, or turning on the television, it's nonstop COVID-19. And there's a little bit of fatigue involved with that we probably need to watch out for.
Yeah, I'm feeling it myself. And but, you know, we're long from this pandemic being over. So I think we have to mentally regroup. And part of that is just turning it off. I elected to go for a walk on the beach instead of listening to Tom Locke briefing yesterday morning. I mean, I listened to it later in the evening off of the Jefferson County website, and it was a very good report. But I also took another long walk yesterday just to kind of clear my head. And I think we all need to do that so that we can stay interested and keep our response viable. Because like I said, it's still early stage of this. And the fact that we're already getting tired is a reflection of how much we have done, how much we have taken in, what we're still trying to do. And, but taking the breaks, I think that's necessary as well.
I'm in agreement with you. I think that in order to stay healthy, you sort of need to go physically exercise, but also to keep the old noggin in balance. And I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. Mental health is a very, very important thing, and sort of it's not ignoring it's more like just sort of like you say, turning things off a little bit and refreshing yourself, so that when you come back, you can absorb that information in a much healthier way.
Right, right. And you know, working as a nurse, you do get overloaded, but you have the next day to come back to it. But it's really, it's a mindset. And you want to do your best for the people that you are working with. And, you know, I still plan to do that with my work with KPTZ. But we all need a little time to just enjoy other things. And what I enjoyed was your talk earlier about Mount St. Helens, because I was in nursing school at the time that it erupted. And I worked at Virginia Mason at the time, part-time job when I was in school. And we used to go up on the roof of Virginia Mason in Seattle to look at the plume coming out of Mount St. Helens before it blew. But, it really has a place in time, and that's my place in time for it. But it's good to talk about other things.
Yeah, talk about a marker. That was quite something. I mean, I remember everything just being completely covered with ash. I mean, it was something that was brought up by actually Willie Benson, with the EOC, is that it's not just being prepared for the pandemic or a pandemic or another pandemic that might come down the road. But it's also, he said it caused the whole organization to reflect a little bit about preparedness and reflect a little bit about what it would take in order to face some of the other challenges that we could very well meet here up on the Olympic Peninsula, because we're not going to be a priority. We're going to get choked off a little bit. So it's important for us to have our ducks in a row.
Yes, I mean, for an earthquake or tsunami. I mean, those are things that we talked about in our EOC, our emergency response team, with KPTZ involvement with the EOC. And but what I see as a good side of this pandemic is the organization that's happened because of it, and with the amount of people, the fire department, the health department, the law, all kinds of people that are involved in this response, but we've gotten to, know the partners on these, what they call it, collaboration calls. And I think that's going to help us so much in the future to actually deal with an earthquake, or other, natural disasters or another pandemic. I think it's really helping open the lines and we have a network now that we didn't have before March. So I think that's the good side.
And I also feel, Lynn, that our actions have been prefaced by an attitude that is really taking into account the common good, as opposed to the profit motive or anything else. I know that there's big concern about the balance between opening up the economy and maintaining our behavior patterns that have contributed to where we are in Washington State right now, because the curve has leveled quite a bit, and Jefferson County is doing quite well. But that doesn't happen it shouldn't happen in a vacuum,
No.
I'm encouraged to hear about some of the ideas, some of the creative ideas based on what we're discovering about the virus, for example, but also, how we might address the reopening the county by, as the New York Times said in an article not too long ago, I think it was this week, talking about how to reopen the economy by exploiting the coronavirus's weak spot, meaning the incubation period, and how we might be able to stagger the workforce
Right, the four days on, 10 days off.
Right, within that context. Maybe you could explain why it's 4 and 10. Maybe let our listeners know what the thinking is behind that.
Well, 4 and 10 equals 14. This is my guess. As far as if you're working for 4 days, and then you're off for 10, may give you, if you're exposed during those 4 days, then you have the 10 days to figure out if you're sick or not and can return. But I'm not sure who thought of this exact formula. But that would be, you know, they're talking about this for possibly for schools, et cetera. I think it'd be mighty confusing. I mean, but once you got in the hang of it, it would be good. But I still think that's kind of a pie in the sky idea, although it's not a bad one.
Well, in reading about it, Lynn, actually, these are a couple of professors of computational and systems biology at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel. And the thinking being that if you had a workforce that you could alternate like that, then there wouldn't be a discovery that would limit the entire workforce. You would be able to isolate discovery. And then businesses could work almost continuously, alternating between two groups of workers. So it does have some sense to it. It also might contribute to the economic and psychological costs of opening the economy and then having to shut it back down again. So anyway, it's interesting to see the thinking, you know, the thinking about a cyclic strategy in the workforce. That's one thing, and that might also apply to school kids as well. You know, kids.
Yeah, and I think we've also found out that working remote does work for a lot of companies. I don't know about how well it's going for schooling, but you definitely have to work out a plan. But it's so complicated, I think, for the schools to come back online.
Lynn Sorensen. RNBSN, member of KPTZ V team and part of our Science to Health series here at KPTZ, Morning on the Salish. We shall be talking to you. Well, I'll be talking to you before that, but our listeners will be listening to you in a couple of weeks. And and then also you'll be on Toss Salad coming up this Friday, right?
This Friday at 1 o'clock, yes.
All right. Well, Lynn, thank you so much. And we will talk to you, and I will talk to you in a couple of weeks here on Morning on the Salish.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.